Good morning, welcome to the weekend edition. Barry White sitting in for Greg today. Coming up on the show, an action-packed show. First we're going to have Denise McClintock and Chef Brian McDermott. They're in to tell us about the Northwest Garden Show, which takes place next weekend. Also we're going to have nutritionist Elsa Jones on the show. She's going to be talking about people's addiction to sugar and telling people how to get off sugar. Also on the show today, we're going to have Tosh Lavery. He's a former member of the Garda Sub-Aqua Unit, and he also worked when Lord Mountbatten was murdered in 1979. He's got a new book out called Tosh, and it's an amazing true story of life and death and drama in the Garda Sub-Aqua Unit. We'll also have him on the show, and we'll also have music on today's show. We're going to be joined in studio by Little Green, who are a folk three-piece band made up of Fionnuala Owens, Kerry Stamp and Emma Louise Macquarie. They'll be in studio just after 11, and we'll also have the People's Republic Creativity. They're going to be building a cardboard town in Derry. We'll have also have that in the show later on. So loads coming up today. But first of all, as usual, we'll go through the morning papers. We'll begin with the Irish Daily Mail. And as I mentioned, Lord Mountbatten there. We're going to have Tosh Lavery in to talk about his book Tosh. He worked at the time of that murder. And in the front of the Irish Daily Mail today, I want to beat my son's killer. The father of a 15-year-old boy killed in the bomb attack on Lord Louis Mountbatten has offered to meet his killer face to face. Paul Maxwell, who was just 15, was a boat boy at the time when Lord Mountbatten's boat was blown up by the IRA 36 years ago. IRA bomber Thomas McMahon carried out the atrocity in Mullock Moor in Sligo, and Paul's father, John, thinks meeting the killer could help him finally come to terms with his grief. Speaking exclusively to the Irish Daily Mail, he said he's been asked to do it to forgive him before, but a lot depends on how Thomas McMahon would react or what he would say to him. It continues in page 6. We'll just go to page 6 to see what else it says. I would still consider doing it, but the response would have to be right in a kind of thing. It would be easier. It would make it easier in his mind. Mr. Maxwell, who's now 78, was speaking ahead of Prince Charles's visit, which is, of course, next week. He's going to be going to Sligo and he's going to visit Mullock Moor, where Lord Louis Mountbatten was killed, of course. Lord Mountbatten was 79 when his boat was blown up by the IRA, and he died along with one of his twin grandsons, Nicholas Knatchbull, who was 14 when the bomb was detonated, a few hundred yards away from when they were en route to Donegal Bay. And for man and teenager Paul, he was a boat boy. He was also killed. Another passenger, Lady Bradburn, 82, died the following day from her injuries. And Timothy Knatchbull, the other twin grandson, was badly injured in the explosion. Thomas McMahon from South Armagh, he served 19 years for planting that bomb in the boat. He was released under the Good Friday Agreement in 1998. And now Paul Maxwell's father says he's prepared to meet him. Also in the Irish Daily Mail, I want three to be quizzed over feck Garth Brooks' objections. Three men are to be questioned for allegedly fecking the names of objectors to the Garth Brooks Croke Park concerts last summer. Around half of the 373 objectors are suspected to have been bogus. So does that mean that that concert, after all, could have went ahead? Also in the Irish Daily Mail, Boston Marathon bomber to die by lethal injection. Boston Marathon bomber Zarakar Zaryev has been sentenced to die by lethal injection for the terror blast. A US court blast sentenced him to death for helping to carry out the 2013 attack that killed three people and injured 264 others. Jurors took 15 hours to reach their decision, and they chose death by lethal injection for Zaryev, who is 21, over its only other option, which was life in prison without possibility of release. Colin scrubs up nicely for Cannes Red Carpet. Colin Farrell pictured at the Cannes Film Festival. Also, two glasses of orange juice boosts elderly brain power. Drinking orange juice every day could improve brain power, and the elderly research shows, and it takes less than 2 months to boost memory, speech and reaction times by a close to 10%. Scientists who put results down to chemicals called flavoroids, natural substances which occur in high levels in oranges. There's always different things every week telling you what's good and bad for you, isn't there? Page 4, Daniel O'Donnell was brought up without a father, and so I'm voting yes, says Daniel. Daniel O'Donnell yesterday became the latest high-profile backer of a yes vote in the upcoming same-sex marriage referendum, arguing everyone should be treated equally. The singer, whose father died when he was 6, and it says it doesn't matter who raises a child as long as they are raised with love. Campion, I think Caffer had a report on there as well from Donal. The Iona Institute, they're not welcoming what Daniels has said, as you'd expect, while some other people have welcomed it. It seems now at this stage you've got a different celebrity coming out each day endorsing a yes vote. You've other people endorsing a no vote. But how much influence is Daniel O'Donnell going to have? If you had made up your mind you were going to vote no, is Daniel O'Donnell coming out and saying he's going to vote yes going to change your mind? I don't know. At this stage, I think a lot of people are just they're fed up hearing the debates in this referendum. It seems to last for months, and a lot of people will be glad to see it over and done with on Friday. Moratorium goes in on Thursday, a 24-hour one. I've seen a few people commenting on Twitter last night saying maybe they should bring in a 5-day one and just let it all relax and chill out for the next few days, because the debate seems to have gone on forever. Also on in the Irish Daily Mail, the miracle of Maria. This is the lonely back road where, by an amazing stroke of fortune, a tiny baby girl was found abandoned last week. Yet as efforts to find her mother continue, a sorrowful nation is forced to ask, how do we make sure we save Maria for good? They still haven't found the mother, despite the attempts by Gardaí to find her. Also in the Irish Daily Mail, did First Night Nair send U2's guitarist right over the edge? I'm not sure if anybody's seen the footage. The guitarist of U2 went over the edge. He just walked along playing the guitar and he just missed the step and he just fell off the stage. I was reading, he wasn't injured. He's a big cut in his arm, but he's very lucky he wasn't injured. Anything else of interest in the Irish Daily Mail? Not that I can see. We'll go on. And just talking about that story of the edge falling off the stage, that's in the front of the Irish Sun. U2 opens in style despite stars tumble. Don't fall off the edge, the obvious headline in the front of the Sun. Rock legends U2 kicked off their world tour in style despite the edge plunging off stage. The guitarist injured his arm after he lost his footing and tumbled over the side of the stage during the encore of their first show in Vancouver. Also in the front of the Sun, a picture of Donegal captain Michael Murphy, GA on the go. Of course, the big match is tomorrow, Donegal versus Tyrone, McCool Park. Highland Radio will be live there with full coverage and full commentary from Oisin Kelly. Of course, the big game. I think the Donegal seem to be pretty confident going into the game tomorrow. Anything else in the Sun? Boston Bomber again, of course. Boston Bomber to get lethal injection, as we were saying. Also, tributes to Davis. Broadcaster Thelma Mansfield will pay tribute to her late friend and Live at Three colleague Derek Davis tonight on the Saturday Night Show. Popular presenter Davis passed away earlier this week, sadly, at the age of 67. So Thelma Mansfield will be on tonight with Brendan O'Connor. This other story, Depp jets dogs out of Oz on deadline. Movie star Johnny Depp has flown his two dogs out of Australia by private jet hours before they were due to be put down. The actor and his wife, Amber Heard, arrived in Queensland with the Yorkshire Terriers last month to work on his fifth Pirates of the Caribbean film, but he broke strict quarantine rules by failing to tell customs officials. He was rumbled after snaps of the dogs at a grooming salon appeared on Facebook. So the dogs were going to be put down, but he's managed to get them out of Australia on time. There you go. Great story. Also in the Sun, more on the marriage referendum. Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter. That is quotes from Martin Luther King, but of course they're talking about Ursula Halligan, who also came out saying she was gay and she's going to vote yes. More about Wee Dan is behind marriage equality as well in the papers. Also in the Sun, barcode clue to dump Maria. Cops probing the case of baby Maria may be able to find the mum through a barcode on the child's blanket. Maria was found at the side of a lonely road in Rathcoole in County Dublin a week ago. Anything else in the Sun? Killer gets life sentence for pal death. A man has been jailed for life after being found guilty of murdering a pal by stabbing him through the heart. Tag Butler, 34-year-old, with an address in Tremor, had denied murdering Michael O'Dwyer at the address on January 2014. But after a period of 2 hours and 26 minutes, the jury found him guilty yesterday. We'll go on to the Irish Daily Star. In the front of the Irish Daily Star, another picture of Michael Murphy and Sean Kavanagh, a Martin McHugh exclusive. Pain of last year is going to drive Donegal on, according to Martin McHugh. And also in the front of the Irish Daily Star, outrage. Killer had left body in car boot for 7 weeks. evil Bernard Curran is back on the streets just 3 years after his conviction for shooting dead mum of one, Helen Donegan. 56-year-old killer Curran is being allowed out of jail to attend training courses in Dublin. Also, in the Irish Daily Star, Ginger Spice, Jerry Halliwell got married, so pictures of that. Blushing bride Jerry Halliwell dazzled cheering crowds in a stunning white wedding dress as she tied the knot yesterday. Huge fine by Royal Plot cops. Gardaí probing a suspected dissident plot to set off bombs during Prince Charles's visit to Ireland next week, and found enough homemade explosives to fill 10 barrels. The Army's bomb disposal team remains on standby at a house in County Louth, which has become the centre of a probe into real IRA activity. Six terror suspects, including senior IRA figure Seamus McGrean, were arrested in Garda swoops in three counties earlier this week. Gardaí found components to make two massive bombs during the initial searches in Dublin, Wexford and Louth on Wednesday. And follow-up searches in the grounds of a property in Drumiskin in County Louth unearthed a massive stash of explosive material. There was enough there to fill 10 barrels, apparently. Anything else in the Sun? Gardaí, you are not a criminal. More on that missing, or the missing mother of baby Maria. Gardaí have renewed their appeal for the mother of a baby girl found abandoned in a bag to come forward, assuring her they are not treating the case as a criminal investigation. Officers said the mother had nothing to fear by coming to them, adding that their only concern was for her welfare. And more then on The Age falling off stage at that concert in Vancouver. Obviously he's fine, it says, but it's more pictures of him falling off. More on the marriage referendum, more there of Ursula Halligan, the TV3 journalist, and more on Daniel O'Donnell saying he's going to vote yes. Also, yeah, here in the Irish Daily Star, a Premier League footballer drug test. He failed a drug test yesterday for cocaine. Premier League soccer star Jake Livermore has been suspended by his club Hull City after testing positive for cocaine. The midfielder failed a drug test following the club's win at Crystal Palace last month. Livermore won't play for the remainder of the season, and in a statement last night, the club said following suspension by the FA, he has subsequently suspended Jake Livermore pending further investigations. I'd say he's going to be facing a lengthy ban, Jake Livermore, for failing that test. Renew Ferdinand, he didn't actually fail a test. He missed a test a few years ago, and he was banned for what? He was banned for 6 months or something like that, so you would expect the book to be thrown at Jake Livermore. Do not shoot the messenger, Cosby says, ignore allegations and heed his advice to kids. Alleged sex monster Bill Cosby said young people should separate what he has to say about their future from allegations lodged against him. The actor and comedian was speaking to high school students as part of a campaign to improve education in Black Belt, Alabama. In an interview with ABC Good Morning America, Cosby was asked how he would respond if a youngster pressed him about accusations that he drugged and sexually assaulted a number of women over a period of decades. He said, I think many of them say, well, you're a hypocrite. You say one thing, you say the other, he replied. His point is, okay, listen to me carefully. I'm telling you where the road is out. You want to go here or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message. Hospital scandal will happen again if we don't change our ways. That's also in the Irish Daily Star. Pictures of Robbie Williams and his wife also in the paper, but not much more. The sports pages are taking up. Make your mind up. Louis van Gaal has told United goalkeeper David De Gea to make his mind up. The keeper is stalling on a new €275,000 a week offer. Wouldn't be bad, would it? But he has been linked with Real Madrid. We'll go to the Irish Daily Mirror. On the front of the Daily Mirror, miracle of Med Judge, Stephen gets cancer all clear 2 months after pilgrimage to holy site. Miracle of Midjigori. Stephen went to Midjigori. He's a young lad. He's an 11-year-old. Seriously ill child has been miraculously cured of cancer after a trip to a pilgrimage site in Midjigori. 11-year-old Stephen Riley battled an aggressive form of bone cancer for 5 years. The Galway schoolboy then went to Herchegovir, where he told his parents he saw a statue of Our Lady move. And Dad Michael said he saw a light that seemed to like a giant hand over Stephen's head. A week later, he improved, and 2 months ago, he was given the all clear. So he suffered from bone cancer for 5 years, and he's now been given the all clear. Quite extraordinary, that story, if you believe it or not, but it happened, according to the Irish Daily Mirror. More about Jerry Halliwell's wedding, more pictures there. Pages 4 and 5, more on Ursula Halligan. I've been in a prison since I was 17. I hated myself. The only way I can move on is by telling the truth. TV3's Ursula Halligan bravely told yesterday how she lived in an emotional prison as she hid her sexuality from the world. New appeal in Hunt for Maria, of course. And just more of a local story here in the Irish Daily Mirror. Delay files may hold up Arlene probe. A lawyer for a convicted child killer due to testify at the inquest into a missing girl has warned of possible legal action if delays releasing state papers continue. Robert Howard, in his 70s, is due to give evidence before a coroner investigating the murder of Castle Derrick teenager Arlene Arkinson in 1994 and will challenge the assumption she is dead. Howard's barrister, Karen Quivelin, is concerned about the probes to September's start date, that's when the inquest starts, citing problems gaining access to vital police and social services files. Arlene from County Tyrone vanished after a night out in Bundoran in County Donegal. Howard, the last person seen with her, was acquitted of her murder in 2005, but the trial jury were unaware of his history of sex attacks and conviction for strangling London teenager Hannah Williams in 2001. So that inquest is in September and it could be delayed again. It's been delayed many times before. I know from covering it in the news, the inquest into Arlene Arkinson has been delayed many, many times before. Hunt for heir to €692,000 fortune. Fresh appeal to Irish relatives. The search for Irish relatives of an English woman who could lay claim to €692,000 has hit a brick wall. Kathleen Hilda Ryan, who had roots in Mullingar, passed away in Britain in 2013 without making a will. The 83-year-old, who was born in Greenwich in London, didn't have any children. Finders International, which traces missing heirs to unclaimed inheritances and works on BBC series Heir Hunter, has been searching for relatives of Kathleen. If anyone can trace their relations back to a century to the Ryan family from Mullingar, they could be in for the big windfall. Kathleen's mum was from London, while her dad, John, was born in Mullingar in 1887. His father had served in the British Army in Ireland and India. After Finders International was unable to locate any relative on her mother's side, the search now concentrates on the Mullingar link. So someone from Mullingar could be ready to get a fortune. More on the Boston bomber. He's going to be executed, as we've been reading in the rest of the newspapers. And more pictures of that fall. You are too close to the edge. Again, the headline in the Irish Daily Mirror. TD hits out at planning over hospital crisis. Overcrowded in one of the nation's busiest hospitals exposes poor planning in the HSE. A TD fumed yesterday. Fianna Fáil Senator Dara O'Brien called on Health Minister Leo Varadkar to set up a comprehensive plan to tackle the state of emergency at Beaumont Hospital in Dublin. Johnny's dogs are deported. That's also in the Irish Daily Mirror. And more on the schoolboy and the miracle cancer cure. That is in page 15. Continuing on from the front page. Schoolboy and miracle cancer cure after trip to Midjigorje. Stephen gets all clear after years of battling serious bone disease. A picture of Stephen in crutches also. And that is it from the Irish Daily Mirror. We'll move on to the Irish Times. In the front of the Irish Times, it is a big picture, 70% yes, 30% no. Seismic shift needed for no side to win. Yes lead, the yes is in the lead as a referendum campaign goes into the final week. The yes side retains a commanding lead in the referendum campaign on same-sex marriage, according to the latest Irish Times Ipsos MRBI poll. But the gap has narrowed since the last poll in March. I think the last poll had it at 78-22, so now they're saying it's 70-30. And I would say come Saturday morning it'll be a lot closer than that as well. I don't think it's going to be that big of a gap, this referendum, but we'll see. It remains to be seen. The poll was taken last Wednesday and Thursday with just a little over a week to go before the vote. Asked how they intend to vote in the referendum to change the constitution to lower... Oh, this is the same-sex marriage one as well. 58% are saying yes to lower same-sex marriage, while 25% said no, while 17% says don't know. I suppose that hasn't been talked about, the lower the age one, has it? Also in the Irish Times, Gardaí say effort to find mother of baby girl is not a criminal investigation. That has been highlighted in most of the papers. Same-sex marriage referendum voting intentions. In April 2014, it was 76% yes. In October 2014, it was 77% yes. In December 2014, it was 80%. And now in May, It is 70% March with 74%. So it's the pattern is that it's going to be a yes vote in that as well. They're just going through all the different polls have carried out. Yes, lead is narrowing, but margin still looks wide enough to carry the day. So that is a big write-up in the Irish Times. And then they've also got an interview with Joan Burton saying that a big turnout is key to a yes vote, apparently. More on Ursula Halligan as well in the Irish Times. More on U2. All the same stories nearly taking up most of the papers today. Anything else? Picture of David Cameron and Nicola Sturgeon shaking hands as well in the Irish Times. The sports pages have been taken up by the Donegal to Rouen game, as I say. United keeper being linked with a move to Real Madrid. And of course, Stevie Gerrard. There'll be a lot of Liverpool fans shedding a tear at 5:30 tonight, I would say. He plays his last ever game at Anfield. Another story that caught my eye during the week. Where is it? If I can find it. Tiger Woods this week. He reached out to a fan of his named Dylan, who had attempted suicide because of how his high school peers had bullied him for his stuttering problem. Tiger wrote Dylan a letter, and he wrote, "Dear Dylan, someone told me that you like watching me play golf. I really appreciate that, and I also want to say how proud I am of you. I know what it's like to be different and to sometimes not fit in." Tiger says he also stuttered as a child, and he would only talk to his dog. He also says in the letter that when he was younger, that most of the kids he competed against, and often he was the only minority player in the field. He tells Dylan that he has a great family, big fans like me on your side. Be well and keep fighting. I'm certain you'll be great to do anything you do. Sincerely, Tiger Woods. So the young guy, Tiger had found out about this young guy trying to commit suicide, and Tiger wrote a letter to him, which is very touching. We're going to take a break. Coming up, we'll be talking about the Northwest Garden Show.
The Weekend Edition, brought to you by the Northwest Garden Show, Saturday and Sunday, 23rd and 24th of May.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition, of course, sponsored by the Northwest Garden Show this week. And we're now going to talk about the Northwest Garden Show. I've got Denise McClintock and Chef Brian McDermott in to talk about it. Denise, Brian, thanks for coming in today.
Good morning.
Morning, Barry.
The Northwest Garden Show, I suppose, first of all, Denise, 5 years is going on and it's pretty successful, isn't it? Hundreds of people every year go to it now.
Every year, yeah. It's a fabulous show, a great success for the CPI Centre in Castlefinia. We have great numbers come through the gates every year, so we're delighted.
And why is it so successful?
I think we have the right mix. We have the right mix of entertainment, of features, of exhibitors, and the likes of Brian there to entertain people. It just seems to tick all the boxes for what people are looking for, and it's a great day out.
Suppose then there's anybody listening who's never been to it before, sell to them, tell them why they should go next week.
Well, they should come next weekend because we have found some fabulous features. We have one of our new features this year is our sheep to chic feature. It's sheep shearing all the way through to a knitted garment, which should be really interesting, all the way through the process from shearing the sheep to the knitted garment, which will be really good. We have our cooking theatre with Brian. We have our gardening experts, and I think for the Northwest Garden Show, probably our garden experts are the most important thing, really, that we have some great expertise there from local garden centres, for a start, and some experts. We have the Organic Centre coming with us this year, and we have Gareth Austin will be with us. And all our garden centres are there with their expertise, which will help you to, you know, do the best for your garden.
Sorry, it's a great chance for local garden centres as well.
It is, it really is. It's great to have that many people on your doorstep, you know, just there to sell to. I know you could say that most garden centres maybe wouldn't have, you know, 20,000 people coming past the door upon a weekend, which is what they'll have when they come to us at the garden show, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and suppose when I think of a garden show, I'm thinking weather. How much is it dependent by the weather? It's not really, is it?
It isn't really. I think in Donegal and in Ireland, you can live and die by the weather, but I think we're also used to having weather that we just get on and deal with it. Yeah. Stick on the coat. It's not about weather, it's about how you're dressed. So put the wellies on, put the coat on. But in fairness, and Brian will attest to this, we've had good weather for the garden show nearly every year. And yeah. I work with Michael, and Michael always says, sun always shines in Castlefin. So next weekend, the sun will be shining in Castlefin.
Yeah, hopefully. Brian, and there's going to be chefs cooking at this as well. And how important is it, the Northwest Garden Show, to get your ideas out there?
It's very important, Barry, because I have to say, the Garden Show, when it started 5 years ago, you know, food was only starting to come in to be amalgamation of other types of festivals. And when you look at gardening, you look at outdoor living, you know, this is the start of the season. It's the start of the gardener season as well, and it's the start of the food season. So the whole kind of grow it, cook it, you know, if you're growing produce, what to do with it. So the whole chef element, the live cookery demonstrations was brought in, and that's been hugely successful at the Northwest Garden Show, because what it's doing is creating a bit of theatre in relation to connecting with the audience. since then as well. So anyone that is a hobbyist and is growing at home, they need to know what to do with their produce so they can come along, they can meet the gardener, they can talk about that, you know, they can talk about their fertile soil. When the produce comes out of that ground, then the big question is what to do with it. And that's what we're going to do, myself and a number of chefs, throughout the 2 days at the garden show next weekend.
There's such an increase of people growing their own vegetables as well, or herbs now, isn't there?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting because we've titled one of the demonstrations this year, which is Grow It, Cook It, and also Kitchen Garden Herbs. So it's actually shown you what to do with that. So if you are growing a little bit of herbs, or if you want to start it, you want to know what to do with it, come along, because that'll be one of the sessions that I'm going to be doing, which is a number of dishes on using herbs. For me, that's a big thing because I'm not using salt, but if you can use the herbs, if you can grow the herbs, it's taking control back of your diet. And there's a real health conscious foodie and local people out there at the moment, and the garden show is a great hub to come along next week and basically to meet the experts so that you can advance what you eat, how you cook, how you grow and all of that.
I suppose as a chef, would you grow most of your own stuff now as well?
I have been for the last kind of 4 or 5 years. Up until that, funny enough, it's something that wouldn't have entertained me, but I find it now actually quite therapeutic and relaxing, and also more importantly that you can walk past it or brush past it, even if it does rain, which it does a lot in Donegal, you know. Yeah. You're walking out your garden, you get this lovely aroma and smell from the herbs, and it's almost like a wee reminder where they're shouting to you to say, use me, do something with me. And herbs are so easy to grow, that's the great thing about it. I mean, you don't need half an acre, and you'll see that next week at the garden show in the Northwest, because they'll do boxes, you know, you'll just see all of the ideas of how to simply grow herbs.
And I suppose it's easy to grow your own
herbs, isn't it? It's so easy, and you know, remember why we eat. You know, we eat to get our vitamins and to stay alive, and the best place to get your vitamins is from homegrown vegetables, because it's not travelled, it's not losing moisture, it's not losing the vitamins. So if you're growing, you know, grow simply. Grow simple little starter points. If it's herbs, if it's carrots or cabbage, it's potatoes, if it's Swiss chard, regardless of what it is, start it slowly, and then you can build out from that, and you're taking control of your diet, you're taking control of your food, and you're in a good place.
What's the most popular thing people are growing?
It's funny, I think if you go back that 4 or 5 years ago in Pate, everybody wanted to grow what we were all reared on, which was potatoes, and yeah, it was cabbage, and it was carrots, and it was all of that. But it's changing now. You know, you have things like Swiss chard coming in. You can grow pak choi. Sweet potatoes can be grown in tunnels. And, you know, the Northwest Garden Show and the CPI in Castlefin, they're a phenomenal organisation, because, number one, it's mostly made up of volunteers, and they've got this community set and community grown that's taking place. So people can come in there, and they use the shared space. And if you come along next week, you'll see that. You'll see the produce that's there, and that's very important, because there's more to growing than just getting the produce and the vegetables. You know, it's that kind of social aspect of it as well, which is growing together, talking, sharing the skills. And you know, that's what I mean about the garden show being a hub. You'll hear people as you're walking past talking about their carrots, talking about their chard, how it's come on, how it's developed. And what I find about hobbyist gardeners like myself, or as a chef just getting into growing, all of a sudden you become an expert very, very quick, because you're self-titling yourself as one of these people that now know how to grow. Yeah. And next year you're talking about your carrots, and all of a sudden they're an absolute disaster for no reason that none of us can understand.
And Denise, I suppose, is looking to next weekend as well. It's not just for people growing their own veg. It's not just for gardeners. It's a family day out as well.
It's a family day out. We have something for everyone, is really what we always say. We have afternoon tea, if you'd like to come along and have afternoon tea in the White House Pavilion. We have a family fun zone. We have a trash and fashion, so if you want to come along and see some fashion and flower demonstrations, I think that's a lovely feature for people to come along and see. Not, you know, you grow your flowers, what can we do with them then after that? So we have plenty for everyone.
It'd be great for kids too, who might have an interest as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Start them young.
Start them young, that's it, yeah. Especially, you know, you say, talked about the small box gardens, that's a great way to get kids started.
Yeah, and Brian, you've also got a plate of food here in front of us. I tasted it and I've tweeted a picture of it saying, lucky man getting this for breakfast today.
Well, anybody waking up this morning, you know, we're, apart from us that are working here, there's a lovely lazy Saturday morning, isn't there, generally around the area. So I think, you know, if you've got kids at home, what I've brought you along is eggy cinnamon and apple bread with some strawberries. So what is it? It's a posh way of saying French toast, basically. Right. So what I want you to do, anybody at home today, just stick on the pan, okay, get a bit of local rapeseed oil, put it in there, heat it up slightly. In the meantime, beat up 2 or 3 eggs, a splash of milk into it, pinch of cinnamon, cut your eggs into soldiers or strips or whatever shape you want, dip them in the egg, pan fry them, flick them over, a little bit of cinnamon. I've sliced some apple and a few strawberries because we're coming into that season. And there you have a lovely warm breakfast snack in a matter of 4 or 5 minutes.
You make it sound so simple. But
that one is. It's a pan, it's a bowl, it's a whisk.
It doesn't look that simple and it doesn't taste that simple. I certainly don't think I could make anything that would taste as good as that.
I think it's the cinnamon, gives you a lovely lift. And great thing about cinnamon as well, it'll hold on to flavour for the rest of the morning in your body.
Fresh taste off, is it? Not, no.
Yeah, no reason why you can't have a go at that this morning to the listeners. And they'll wake up to an absolute beautiful surprise, someone who's maybe sleeping in and do that. Mm-hmm.
And Denise, it gets underway. Just what time's the North West Garden so we get underway?
It's next week. Saturday and Sunday, the 24th of May, 11 till 6 p.m. on both days. And it's €8 at the gate and children are free. Yeah. And if I just take the opportunity to thank all our sponsors and supporters who are all listed on our website.
Well, hopefully the sun stays out.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully there's, well, not hopefully, when a big crowd will turn out, but if the sun stays out, an even bigger crowd will stay out.
Absolutely.
Denise, Brian, thanks for coming in. Brian, I think you should just leave that plate of food there and I'll eat some more during the break.
I will do. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks for coming
in, guys,
and all the best next week.
The Weekend Edition, brought to you by the North West Garden Show, Saturday and Sunday, 23rd and 24th of May.
Welcome back to the Weekend Edition. We've also got a competition on today. With two sets of tickets for the Eclipse Cinema in Strabane and Lifford, or Lifford Strabane. And the question is, who plays Tony Stark, Iron Man, in the Avengers Age of Ultron? Is it A, Robert Downey Jr., or B, Michael Downey Sr.? Answer, or the text in for your answer, and name and address to 086-7700-555. Two sets of tickets to Eclipse Cinema. Who plays Tony Stark, Iron Man, in the Avengers? Is it A, Robert Downey Jr., or B, Michael Downey Sr.? Also, a few requests to read out. Lucy McGonigal doing her first communion today in Fannad, from your cousins Kira, Shane, Owen, Mateig in Downings. Also for Liam and Sinead McBride doing their confirmation in Carrigart today. That's from your granddad, your aunts, uncles and all your cousins. A special request for Kieran McElwain from Fannad, who is making his first Holy Communion also today. That's love from Mammy, Daddy and wee sister Sophie. Also wish Seamus O'Donnell and Maura McManus all the best on their big day today. Also to Jared Hamer and Helena McCarry all the best today on their big day as well. That's from Derek, Bridge, Anne and the kids. Also good luck to Shanna Kelly from Glenswilly and all the Donegal minor ladies in the Ulster final, and the management team. We are taking in the cup to Donegal accordingly. That's on today. All the best to them. And a big congratulations to Tegan Doherty Quinn and Shauna Doherty from the parish in Linsford, who is making their confirmation today. Also good luck to Stephen Collins and Karen Dunne making his communion, and that's from Mum and Dad and Dylan. Now on the Weekend Edition we have John Fitzsimmons. John's from Belfast and he's here to tell us about his son Andrew. John, thanks for joining us on the show.
Not a problem, Barry. Pleasure to be here.
Right, John, first of all, instead of me telling us, tell us about your son Andrew.
Okay. Andrew was a student at University of Liverpool, where he was studying towards his English degree. And unfortunately, during his time there, he developed a very rare form of bone cancer called osteosarcoma. And unfortunately, Andrew passed away on the 1st of October 2013 after a very long battle with the disease.
Right, and Andrew sadly passed away very young, 23 years of age, but he had a huge interest in comic books.
Indeed. Andrew, as an English student, was an avid reader of all sorts of literature. And it was during his time at University of Liverpool that he, during his studies, he developed an interest in comic books. And this interest, and particularly superhero type and its effect on American society, etc., he got very interested in that subject. And during the last few months of his life, he teamed up with guys from Derry, Uproar Comics, and he thought he would throw all his energy into producing a comic, Andrew's comic, based on a superhero, which details his thoughts on how young people, unfortunately, they're struck down with cancer, how they should go forward.
Right, it sounds very interesting, and you've took it forward even after Andrew's death.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, Andrew, while he made the original draft, the family, we decided, well, it was his legacy and it was a very important thing that it be followed on. So we all pulled together, and we were very fortunate, and the Belfast Telegraph ran a few articles, and we raised quite a bit of money, and as I say, we teamed up with Uproar Comics, and we have eventually managed to produce the comic. We have 3,000 copies printed, ready for distribution to cancer centres all over the United Kingdom and Ireland. And it's turned out extremely well. I'm sure Andrew would have been very proud of the end results.
You've really created a legacy then for Andrew to live on.
Correct. That was the whole point of the comic. It was Andrew's gift to us and to society in general, and especially the young people. When Andrew was fighting the disease, he always set himself goals. He pushed himself right in the end. He tried to do everything that every young person does. He, after a very tough battle of treatment, he went back to the University of Liverpool for a year. And although he was quite ill at the time, he managed to live in a student house and do what students do and enjoyed himself as best as he could under the circumstances, and completed his degree and got his 2-1 and come back and finished off his comic and tried to keep interest. He loved sports and gym work and great rugby man, and done everything that he could possibly do to keep life normal.
It's a great story. What do you reckon the young people in the cancer centres around the UK are going to make of the comic? Do you think they're going to enjoy it?
Hopefully so. It is a hard read, Barry. You know, it doesn't pull any punches, but there's a message in there. It's about setting yourself goals and keep going with your life. Surround yourself with friends and family. Enjoy everything that you have and just take one day at a time. It's a very poignant story, but hopefully I think it will be well received. And certainly the social worker, the Click Sergeant charity that Andrew was working with, they're very impressed with it, and we think that it will be an asset, a resource for the for people, for the social workers who have to deal with this with their patients, and hopefully it's something that they can bring to the table to help everyone along.
Certainly sends out a strong message. And suppose for yourself, John, and for your family, Was it hard working in this, though, after Andrew's death? Was it emotional?
It was extremely emotional. As any parent will know, you know, it's your worst nightmare that you lose one of your children. Andrew was a great child, great man, was known as a gentleman. He embraced everyone. He gave everyone their chance. So for us, yes, it was very difficult proofreading the comic as it was developed, you know, signing off and peeing by peeing about the actual script as it went along. And at the very end, you know, I had the comic here in front of me, and there's a nice portrait on the back of the comic of him. And it's very hard. It was very, very hard. Extremely.
But although it's extremely hard, John, at least his memory is going to live on. Thousands of people are going to read the comic. Thousands of people are going to know Andrew's name, and they're going to know the interest that he had in comic books.
Absolutely, Barry. It is all about the legacy at the end of the day, and you've just got to sort of like pull yourself away, although it's difficult from the emotional side, and say, well, this is what Andrew wanted. It's his words. It's lovely to read them, although we wish we could change everything, but we can't. And you know, it is something for a young man, and it was typical of Andrew that not only when he passed on that he left something behind him, something that he thought would do other people good. So that's where the plus side is in it for us, I suppose.
John, although it's a very sad story, it also is, it's a great story too, that his legacy is going to live on, and thousands of people, as I say, is going to read this. John, thanks for joining us on the show.
Not a problem, Barry. Good luck.
Thanks, John. Bye.